before a Yom Tov contains in itself the entire Yom Tov. Actually, a Shabbos contains in itself the entire coming week. So, a Shabbos before a Yom Tov is heavily laden with all the hashpa'is, with all the bounty of the coming Yom Tov. Especially if, like in the case of this coming Shabbos, when it actually takes us by the hands and leads us into the Yom Tov. So, in our Sedra and in our Haftarah, we are going to have suggestions about what the Shabbos is going to be. The Haftarah ends, Ve'yarasach li li'ayilam. The Jewish nation is considered a kala, a bride, to the Rabbeinu Shalom. And Hashem says, Ve'yarasach li li'ayilam. Our marriage is one forever. Our marriage consists of all the mitzvahs that the Bnei Yisrael do, that Jews do. And there is one mitzvah that has, that is a concentrate of all the mitzvahs, and it contains all the mitzvahs. The bond between Hashem and Klal Yisrael is with Emunah. Emunah is the foundation and the concentrate of all the mitzvahs. V'yadata sadainai, you shall know Hashem. The Har Sinai, the standing by the Har Sinai and accepting the Torah is a form of a marriage. And the Medrash tells us that the wedding ring was the Aseres HaDibrais. And the Gemara says that Rabbeinu Shel Olam had the Har Sinai over the Jewish heads. That was a chuppah. The Har Sinai was suspended. The Har Sinai was suspended over the Jewish heads, and that was the chuppah. And as the custom is, before a chuppah, there is a Shabbos which we call an oifchav. You know, the chassan goes to shul, and they call him hup, and they call him to the sefer Torah. That's the oifchav. So this Shabbos is the Eifrif. And when we and of course, what does the Shabbos consist of? A Shabbos consists of the parshas, the psukim, the words, the isias of the sedra, of the parsha of the week. And that is the material. It's the fabric from which the Shabbos is the threads from which the Shabbos is spun out. The Shabbos consists of the Sedra. So in our Sedra today, the Shabbos before Har Sinai, the Eifrif Shabbos, when the Chassan and the Kala prepare for the great momentous Shabbos of the the great momentous Yom Tov, the Shavuos of Matan Torah, is Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe b'Midbar Sinai. Well, you already have Midbar Sinai. Hashem spoke to Moshe in Midbar Sinai, B'Yayel Mayed, and he tells them to count the Bnei Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael have to be counted, and the pasuk continues. That who shall count? You, Moshe, you shall count. You was Choshka Adaz B'nai Yisrael B'mishpachaisam B'mispa Sheimais. Who should count them? Ata v'Aharon, you and your brother Aharon, and you may have help in counting. You can have assistance. V'yitcham yehiyu ish ish lamata ish reish l'veisa v'isavhu. You can have the Nesiim, the governors of the Shvatim, of the 12 tribes. So I remember, now they do everything by mail, but when I was rather young, every 10 years in America they had a census like they do nowadays, and every door had a knocking. Who's there? The census man. Who was the census man? He was usually somebody who had no job, a hardcore unemployed, who had nothing to do anyway. So the government gave him a little temporary job to go from door to door and find out how many people live there, and if they already had the measles or smallpox or anypox or whatever. And that was the job of the counter, of the census man. Usually, people of little education and little talent, but they can go from door to door and find out how many people there are. Hi. So I'm wondering. No, put it on the couch. So I'm wondering, why was it necessary that Moshe Rabbeinu had to spend his time and count the Jews? Why did he have to count them? Together with Aharon and the Nesiim, didn't they have more important things to do and to be of a service to Klal Yisrael with? We find that after the count, we find that there are 600,000 Jews. To round out numbers, after that, the Levim were counted from the Shevet Levi, and we'll find that there's 22,000. After that, very interestingly, they were grouped into four divisions, each division consisting of three Shvatim, of three tribes, and then there was a fifth. The Kohanim and the Levim were in the center, and they were they were instructed how to put up camp, that the Shevet, the Dagger, the flag of Yehuda with his two accompanying tribes have to be in the east, in Mizrach, and these in the west, these in the south, and these north. Four divisions, four Degalim, with four flags. Each Shevet individually had its own flag, and then each three Shvatim, which were one division, had a flag which consisted of the colors of all the three together, and that's how they camped around the Mishkan, around the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan. And then they were counted again, and the Pasuk tells us exactly how many each Shevet had, how many each division had, and the sum total, which is the exact same as we find in the beginning of the Sedra. It seems that there's a lot of repetition in our parsha. Coming back to the original suggestion that our Sedra is the wedding Sedra, it's the Chuppah Sedra, We'll start over again, and we'll go to the beginning of the Sedra again, and we see Moshe Rabbeinu and Aharon and the Nasiim counting the Yidden, but there's a little there's a certain expression here, how you shall count them. B'mispar shemais, count them in the sum of names. Mispar means the total, shemais of the names, count names. This is puzzling. What does it mean, counting names? Now, the Gemara tells us in Kedushin, "Lefikach nikro rishainim seifrim, shayu seifrim kol aisiyay shevetayre." We heard of the big chachamim, the big tanoim, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tarfain, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua. They're called seifrim, the counters. Why are they the seifrim, the counters? Because they counted all the Isis of the Sefer Torah. And they knew exactly how many Isis there are, how many Psukim there are. They counted. I think that it's a total understatement, an underestimation, to say that Rabbi Akiva was, his distinction was that he was a Sefer. He was able to count all the Isis of the Sefer Torah. I can do it. Give me a week, and I'll give you everything in the Isis Psukim. I can do it. You can do it. Anybody can do it. So that's why Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim of his caliber were called Seifrim. That was their distinction, that they were able to count. We Jews have two names. Those of us who daven in the morning and say everything by davening know those two names. V'kara says Shema Yisrael v'Yeshurim. Klal Yisrael is called Yisrael and Yeshurim. What is Yisrael and what is Yeshurim? Like I told you last week, these are very, very deep in Yanim. Deep concepts, but the our Chachamim tell us that there are 600,000 Jews, as we find them in today's Sefer Torah and in today's Sedra. And if any gentleman here will tell me that he knows it as a fact that there are more than 600,000 Jews, I will answer him with an answer which Reb Tzadik HaKayin and the Pri Tzadik tells us. True, there are more than 600,000 Jews. True. But actually, put them together, there's 600,000 Jews. And sometimes you have many Jews constituting one letter, one ois in the Sefer Torah, in such a way that if that part of the ice would be missing, the Sefer Torah would be puzzled. Let's say in the middle of the reading of the Sefer Torah, you will sometimes see the Chazan's, the Balkairi stops. He finds that there's a little scratch in a certain letter, in a certain ice in the Sefer Torah. And what should he do? The rabbi is called over. They look like this, take off the glasses, they should be able to see better. Because if that scratch is really goes from one end of the ice to the other one, those Sefer Torah's puzzle, not just this ice, not just this letter. It has to be complete ice. Or any part of an ice is not supposed to be missing. Every Jew, every person sitting here, you and I, we are at least part of an ice someplace in this Sefer Torah, that if that part would be missing, the ice, and therefore the Sefer Torah, is rendered puzzle. It's no good. until it's fixed by Aya Shecht or by somebody else. So we are Isis in the Sefer Torah. We are Jews. Every one of us is an Isis in the Sefer Torah. I think it should thrill us to think about ourselves this way. We are all Isis in the Sefer Torah. We are all Isis in the Sefer Torah. And Isis in the Sefer Torah, like we discussed this last week, have very much to them. Rabbi, on every Isis there are built thousands upon thousands and countless halachas. The Chachamim, the Tanoim, and the Amoraim of the Gemara, and the Chachamim before them, are able to know what each I stands for, and how many dinim we learn out that we derive from each I, and from each word. Those of you who are fortunate to have been learning Gemara, you will be familiar with this. You will find that many times a whole halacha, a whole din is changed because there's one extra ice in the word. From the ices we learn out in pshat dinim and halachis. It's deeper than that. There are saidis and saidis, secrets and secrets and secrets, and everything is in the Isis of the Sefer Torah. When the Chachamim were called Seferim, it doesn't mean that they were able to count the Isis. They knew what each I stands for. It was a davar shebeminyan by them. It was something of importance. It was something, you know, in halacha we know that something that you count is more important than something that you weigh. Something that you count can never become batal bishishim. It never becomes nullified when it mixes up with 60 parts against it. You know, if you have, let's say, a drop of milk falling into, it drops into a pot of chicken soup. If there's 60 times as much chicken soup as the milk, it's kosher. So, because it becomes bottle b'shishim. But something what you can, that you count never becomes bottle. It's a davar shebeminyan. It's very important. When we look at the Isis mean nothing to us. The Isi has become bottle to each word. I'm looking at the first Vayadaber, the Vav of the word Vayadaber Hashem El Moshe, the first Isi in today's Sedra. What does this Vav mean? Does it carry any message to me? It means nothing. Even the word Vayadaber, he said, there's still nothing which I understand. Nothing has been communicated to me. When I read the whole pasuk, or at least a clause, Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe, I understand something. God spoke to Moshe. But what does one ice mean? It becomes battle in the word, and the word becomes battle in the pasuk. The Rishonim, they understood what each ice stands for, and more, and more, and more. And the Isis didn't become battle by them. It was a davar shebeminyan, something that you count. That was the greatness of the our Tanoim, that they were able to read Isis. Now, that we know now that each Is is a Jewish neshama, and there are 600,000 Isis because there are 600,000 neshamas. So our Sfarim tell us that's why the Jewish nation has two names, Yisrael and Yeshurun. Yisrael, Yud, Shin, Reish, Aleph, Lamed. These are the Rashi Teivos, Yesh, Shishim, Ribay, Isis, LaTorah. There are 600,000 Isis in the Torah. Yeshurun, Yud, Shin, Reish, Nun, the way it's spelled in Hazinu, Yesh, Shishim, Ribay, Neshamis. there are 600,000 neshamis which correspond to these 600,000 Isis, and each neshama is a Is in the Rabbeinu Shalom Sefer Torah. So when Moshe Rabbeinu and the Nesiim started counting the Jews, they were counting Isis, because each Jew is a Is, like the Sefer. And when they were counting Jews, they didn't do it like the census does it, you know, here in the United States, counting people. Because when you count people, each person becomes a number, because it has to sum up to a total. You know, there are roughly, let's say, some 200 million people in the United States. So each person becomes a number. In a household, you don't count people. When a person, a couple is blessed with a child, and they expect another child, and they're going to have a third child, so they won't say, "All right, darling, you're going to be number one. The next child will be called number two, and the third child will be called number three." Because in a household where each member of the family has an individuality with everything that his name implies, we don't call people by numbers, we call them by names. A name means something. A name has a message, especially Jewish names. Every Jewish name has a message. Every Jewish name actually tells you the secret of this person's neshama. And when a parent gives a name to a newborn child, he is vested with nevuah, with ruach hakodesh, with prophecy. And somebody once came over to the Chiddush Yerim and said, "What name should I give my new child?" So the Chiddush Yerim told him, "When you give a name to a child, at that moment you are vested with Ruach HaKadosh, with the spirit of Nevuah, of prophecy. Why should I deprive you of that? Be a prophet and give and decide on the name." Because they know the name that this neshama had when it was still by the Kisei HaKavod, by the heavenly throne. And that is the name of each person. So when Moshe Rabbeinu counted the Jews, we find the Torah describes his counting. He didn't count numbers. B'mispar shemos, he counted names. When somebody has a herd of cattle, each animal has a number. When somebody has a family, each member has a name. Here, he used numbers, but the numbers consisted of the names. Misp names are individuality. Numbers are collective. When Moshe Rabbeinu counted the Jews, there was a combination of the person's individuality and his being part of the collective. The Mispa Shemais, the sum total of the names, both together. Because each Jew in the Midbar who was counted was looked upon as a Ois in the Sefer Torah. And who was able to know the Oisius? Who was able to understand the characteristics of each Ois, which means the characteristics of each Neshama, as much as Moshe Rabbeinu? You can't give that to somebody who is unemployed. Let him count the people. He's going to count numbers. You must have people they must have people like Moshe Rabbeinu, like Aaron HaKoyen, like the Nesiim. Let them count, because they know what each Jew stands for. They know the sides. They know the secrets. The millions and millions and endless secrets which are vested in each Jewish neshama of the past, the future, and the present. So that's how you have to count a Jew. And they counted it l'gugel leisam. When they counted the Jews, they didn't just count them the way they're here in the Midbar. They counted the Gilgulim of the future, the Gugulaisim, the incarnations of the future. So that's how they counted the Jews. And now that the Jews are counted this way, they are counted by the leaders of Klal Yisrael. The leaders of Klal Yisrael in the Sedra Vayikra are called Einei HaEida, the eyes of the Eida. And if the Gemara speaks about a Kal, about a bride, if her eyes are beautiful, then she's totally beautiful. Kal Sheneh, Yafais, Ein Kal Guf, Tzarech Bedika. These are the Einei HaEida, they are the eyes, they know how to look at a Jew. And this is the beauty of the Kala in the Shabbos before the Chuppah, the Eifrof Shabbos. So, and those who are the Einei HaEida, they know how to bring out the beauty of every Jew. And that's why they counted them, to bring out the internal brightness of a Jew who may be, you know, crusted over with earth, with dirt, but they see the brightness inside. They see the the glow of his neshama, the heavenly glow of his neshama, the way it was by the Kisei HaKavod, and what his future is going to be after the Tikkun when Mashiach will come. That's how they counted the Jews. So they counted them, and lo and behold, there are 600,000 Jews. And that corresponds to the 600,000 ICIs, to use a round number, of the Sefer Torah. So they counted them the Mispah Shemais. After that, now, keep in mind, in the back of your mind, that we are in this Sadra preparing for Shavuos. We are preparing to be Mekabel the Sefer Torah from the Har Sinai, the Aseres HaDibros, which contain the entire Sefer Torah, like Rashi says at the end of Mishpatim. So, after all the Jews are counted, and we find out that there are 600,000 of them, we're dealing with Isaias. So we have to arrange these Isaias and make Sedras, Parshas, Psukim, words from these Isaias. Because each Jew is an Isaias in the Sefer Torah. But if everybody is running around, you know, in a disorganized way, so it's just like somebody spilling 600,000 Isaias on the paper, would that be a Sefer Torah? They have to be arranged according to the words, according to the psukim. So following the parsha of the counting, so Hashem says, Vayadabar Hashem HaMosh V'Yaron Lehem, you counted the Jews. It's self-evident now that they are atheists in the Sefer Torah. So therefore they have to be arranged. Each Jew should take a position according to the position where his corresponding ice is in the Sefer Torah. The Torah has to make sense. We're mortals. We have to read it according to our understanding. Everybody should have a flag. Each shevet should have a flag. Be isis. According to the Isis, according to the Isis that they are, let them be arranged. Let them set up camp in such a way that that they should make sense. They should be written according to the Sefer Torah. So they were set up in five camps. And it's natural that they should be set up in five camps because we have five chumashim. And the third chumash, the center chumash, is Vayikra, or as it is known as Tiras Kayanim, the halachis of the Mishkan. So therefore, the Kayanim and the Leviim are in the center. That's a, because they're the Sefer Vayikra. And but there's another item here. After all the Jews were counted, we find out that the Shevet Levi wasn't counted. They have to be counted individually, not together with Klal Yisrael. And that poses a problem with the Chumash Vayikra. The Shevet Levi were counted, and being that they're the Roshim, they're the teachers of Klal Yisrael, the Shevet Levi, Yairu Mishpatecha LeYankev Esarascha LeYisrael, they're the teachers of Klal Yisrael. Last week I told you about one of the miracles that we find even in today's period of Hester Panim. The fact that Torah is deep and deep and deep, and everybody, I'm going to unveil another miracle. But everybody sees it, everybody knows it, and nobody just pays any attention. Moshe Rabbeinu blessed the Shevet Levi and the Seder of Zayis HaBracha. Yairu Mishpatecha LeYankev. They're going to be the teachers of Yankev over Sarascha LeYisrael. They're going to be the rabbis of Klal Yisrael. In my yeshiva, Torah V'Das, where I have a position, we have a Bes Medrash. That's for the senior boys, the older boys who are already accomplished scholars, big Talmidei Chachamim. And they are given shiurim, lectures, by the Rashei HaYeshivas. To give shiurim for older Bachrim who have been learning for the past 15 years, you need very great people. Usually by us, the Rashi HaYeshivas are the Gedolei Hador, the greatest ones in the generation. And so it stands to reason that in a yeshiva like ours, the Rashi HaYeshiva in the Bes Medrash should be very great people, Gedolei Hador. In our yeshiva, there are in the Bes Medrash 10 Rashi HaYeshivas. 7 of them are either Kayanim or Leviim. Now, we have a Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch, which tells us the Dinim very briefly, but that's not a way of teaching us. By giving us a Shulchan Aruch, we would know very little from the Shulchan Aruch. It has to be explained to us. Who explained the Shulchan Aruch? And when you look in the Aruch Chaim, that's the first section of the Shulchan Aruch, on one side you have the Magen Avraham and the Turei Zav on the other side, both for Kayanim. I won't go into long elaborations now. I'm going to tell you that you're going to find that almost everybody who explained and taught the Shulchan Aruch were either Kayanim or Leviim. The Shach was a Kayan, in the other Chalakim of the Shulchan Aruch. But as time went on, the quality of Talmidei Chachamim diminished. We're not as well versed in Torah now as people were as the Talmidei Chachamim were 200 years ago. So those explanations aren't sufficient for us. So along came other people who explained and elaborated on the Shulchan Aruch. Who are they? The Chafetz Chaim. Who was a Kayan? the Orech HaShulchan, who was a Levi. These wrote the complete Orech HaChayim. There was a third one who did it, the Rav Shulchan Aruch, who wasn't either a Kayan nor a Levi, and he wasn't Zeicher. He didn't finish it. Or to be more exact, he did finish it, but it's not available for us. A part of it was burnt in a fire, and we don't have the whole Shulchan Aruch from him. But we were Zeicher, the Mishneh Berurah and the Orech HaShulchan were Zeicher to give us a complete Orech HaYim, Kayanim. In the yeshivas, the style of limud, the derech limud right now, was really put down by Rab Chaim Briska. Rab Chaim, the Briska Rav, Rab Chaim HaLevi. He was a Levi. And who are his greatest talmidim? Rab Naftali Trapp and Rav Shimon Shkap, both Kayanim. Rav Shimon Shkap, I don't remember at this point if maybe he was a Levi, but I do remember that he was either a Kayan or a Levi. Rav Naftali Trapp was certainly a Kayan. If you have nothing to do, so I would suggest that sometimes you should spend a few hours in our shtiebel. We have thousands of sfarim there, you know, especially in the Azras Nash and the side. That's where you have all the commentaries. Go from sefer to sefer and find out what the proportion of Kayanim and Levium of the authors are, as opposed to those who are not Kayanim and Levium. We're going to have Yom Tov this week. You're going to have the Kayanim going up front, and you're going to find some Levim standing by the sink to wash their hands. They probably will be, let's say, probably about 10% of the congregation. But that's as far as the congregation is concerned. But when it comes to teaching Torah, there's certainly more than 50% the teachers of Klal Yisrael. Why? Because 3,500 years ago, Moshe Rabbeinu spoke about the Shevet Levi, and he said, "Yairu mishpatecha liyanka v'sarascha liYisrael." The Levim, the Shevet Levi, the Kainam and the Levim, they're going to be the teachers. They're the source of our Torah. So therefore, they're the source of our neshamas. The Torah is derived from our rabbis, the Shevet, the Kahuna, and the Kainam and the Levim. They're the source of our neshamas, the Sheirish. They are the roots. So therefore, the Shevet Levi were not counted together with the Yidden, with the Ordi other Isis of the Sefer Torah, because they are the roots. Just like there are 600,000 Isis, what are the roots of these 600,000 Isis? The 22 Isis of the Aleph Beis, right? 22 Isis of the Aleph Beis. So after counting the Shevet Levi, let's be curious. Let our fingers do the walking and find out how many Levium there are. Shnayim, where is the pasuk? Shnayim v'yeshem elef, 22,000. And what's 1,000? Elef. It goes back to the aleph. What's a aleph? A aleph. What's a base? 2 alephs. What's a gemel? 3 alephs. That's how our sfarim explain it. The root of the 600,000 is the number 22, multiplied by 1,000, because of their greatness. The Kisei HaKavod, where they come from a deeper makim than we are, up to the thousand, the digit which stands for thousands. So we see that this Sedra tells us in no uncertain ways that the Jewish nation are Isis and the Sefer Torah, and that the Rebbes are the roots of the Isis. The 22 essential elementary Isis are the Aleph base, the elements. So this is the Klal Yisrael, and we know already why you needed Moshe and Aaron to count the Yidden. Ishal Diglai B'Isis. This will clarify another Indian. We find in the Sadra Emayo 2 weeks ago that there was a certain character from the Shevet Dan who claimed he's from the Shevet Dan, but he really wasn't. He was somebody who was Megaya himself, but his Geiris wasn't worth anything. His mother was a Jewess, but at that time, before Matan Torah, the mother... motherhood did not declare his status as a Jew. That was after the Torah was given. So Rashi says that therefore he was Megaya himself again. But he wasn't honest about being Megaya himself. And he set up camp in the Shevet Dan. And there was a quarrel. The people, his neighbors, didn't want him there. You don't belong in the Shevet Dan. And they went to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he lost the Din Torah. He was not allowed to set up camp in the Shevet Dan. He really wasn't a Jew. He wasn't a genuine Geir either, because he was not the Kairis. So he derided, like Ash explains, Alechem upon him. He didn't believe in the Torah. So his geiris wasn't a genuine geiris, and he remained a guy. So he didn't belong in the machne. So they had him out. They evicted him, and because of that, he cursed Hashem's name, and because of that, he was put to death. What did they care if he's there? It was such a big, vast desert, a midbar gadol v'anayra, with enough space for everybody. So why do they care if somebody is there? So he's there, so what? They have to evict him. Now we understand already. The Jewish camp wasn't a plain camp. It was a Sefer Torah. It was Hashem's Sefer Torah. With 600,000 Isis, each arranged according to the Sefer where they belong, and each arranged according to the pasuk where they belong, and in the word where they belong. Each word is a family. Each shura, each line is a neighborhood. The Gemara says how big should be a line in the Sefer Torah? That you should be able to write in it 30 Isis, 3 times the mishpachei seichem, 3 times the word family, a neighborhood. Because our line in the Sefer Torah is a neighborhood of 3 Jewish families. 3 houses is a shchuna. 3 houses is called a neighborhood, Chazal tells us. So, what happens if somebody would decide to open up the Sefer Torah? He wants to contribute something to the Sefer Torah, and he'll add another ice to a certain word. The whole Sefer Torah is puzzle. So when somebody comes into the camp, the machane, who doesn't belong there, he passes whole Sefer Torah. So they were justified in evicting him, that you don't belong here. There is very much that can be learned from this. The importance of a Jewish home, the importance of a Jewish knesses, of a Jewish congregation, and the importance of not having somebody who doesn't belong there. Because we don't know. We come into a congregation, we come into a basic nurses, or we come into a Jewish family, and we don't realize, we don't have the eyes of Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron, we don't know how to appreciate what this collective is. It's a word in the Sefer Torah. So each shevet had a flag and with a color. Each shevet had its own color. And each division of Fri Shvatim also had a flag with the three colors on it. Because there are many colors in Klal Yisrael. But they're all one nation. And they're all one machne. And they're combined into one Sefer Torah. Klal Yisrael is multicolored. But it's one... So, when Shavuos comes, we are told to prepare for Shavuos. There's nothing that we have to prepare for as much as for Shavuos. Sphira. The Torah tells you to prepare 49 days before. When Rosh Chodesh comes. Especially 3 days before your Shavuos. Hayu nechayinim alayam ha-shalishi, God says. Be ready for the third day. Because the Torah in this week's Sedra tells us that each Jew is a ois in a Sefer Torah. Every Shavuos, the Torah is given anew. Reb Chatzko Shenovel, a very big tzaddik, lived about 100 years ago, was the son of the Sanzer Rav of Reb Chaim Sanzer. Very, very great man. So, when Shavuos came, he left, and he went to Reb Shalom Belzer, to a different Rebbe. He left his father, came back after Shavuos. Next year came, he started preparing again to go to Reb Shalom Belzer. So his father says, why are you going to Belz? What's wrong with spending Shavuos with me and the family and the Hasidim? So he says, why should I spend Shavuos with you, father? When I go to Reb Shalom Belzer, I see Kailai Subrakim. When the Torah was given, the Torah tells us in Parshas Yisrei, the Kriya of Shavuos, that there were thunders and lightnings, and they saw the way the words of the Torah come down. They were able to see the words and everything that went with it, and they saw the 22,000 malachim that accompanied Hashem down with the Har Sinai. So he says, I see that in Belz, and by you I don't see it. So his father says, stay here, you're going to see it here also. So Paschal Shenovel stayed, and he saw it, and then his father told him, you think it's something special to go to Reb Shalom Belzer and see the Kailos and hear the Kailos Subrakim? You have to deserve it yourself. Work upon it yourself. But I showed you, just to show you. So, our Torah is a nitzchius. Our Torah isn't a history book. Whatever we find in the Torah repeats itself every year when we reread it. And every Shavuos, heaven comes down and joins earth, like we said last week. And the Torah is given again. And we have to prepare. We have to prepare for the Matan Torah. And that's why from Rosh Chodesh Sivan, where you already start preparing B'chodesh HaShlishi, let's say, B'nai Yisrael Me'atz Mitzrayim, Bal Midbar Sinai, and Asher says they came with tshuva, they had to do tshuva, from Rosh Chodesh Sivan and on. Prepare for Matan Torah. On Shavuos is a very fateful day. Everybody, it's like Rosh Hashanah. I think we spoke about it last week. Just like before Rosh Hashanah, you know, you read the Kalalais, Tich L'Shanah V'Kalalaisel, let the year end with its Kalalais, and let the new year start with the Brachis. Same thing goes with Shavuos. Shavuos is considered the Rosh Hashanah. And that's why we finish the Kalalais of B'chukaisai, and then Shavuos comes. So, it's the Rosh Hashanah for Ruchnius, for Torah. A big tzaddik, Amad Chalachevich, has said, I'm not so much afraid of Rosh Hashanah as I am afraid of Shavuos. Because Rosh Hashanah, I'm going to be judged, and it's going to be decided if I should get one loaf of bread more, or one loaf of bread less. That's insignificant to me. But on Shavuos, it's going to be decided how much Torah I'm going to get, how much Yiras Shemayim I'm going to get. There was a big tzaddik, the Beluzheva Rebbe, a very big tzaddik. He has a grandson here in Borough Park. One of the greatest tzaddikim that lived. There are still some people today who would remember him. And he lived in the town or city of Beluzhev, and the Surgeon General came to town because the king passed through, and he went with the king, the biggest doctor in the country. So the chassidim decided, they had some pull, that let the doctor come and examine the Rebbe. So he came, and after the examination, the doctor says to the Rebbe, "Rabbi, your heart doesn't beat regularly." This doctor was a Jew, and he was born in a nice, good Jewish family, but he went astray. So the Rebbe says, "My heart doesn't beat regularly. Tell me, doctor, do you know what today is?" "What?" "It's Rosh Chodesh 7. Do you know what's going to be 6 days from now? Shavuos. I'm going to receive the Torah. 6 days before Shavuos, when I'm going to receive the Torah, and you expect my heart to beat regularly?" That's how our Chachamim, our Gedolim, prepared for Shavuos. Shavuos is a big thing. It's perhaps the most important day of the year for somebody who is a Jew who has God at heart. And you have to prepare for Shavuos. Some people are silly. They're up the whole night, and they decide that if they're operated, they're going to daven in the morning, and by davening, they sleep, and they fall, and they slumber, and before they realize what's happening, so it's a good yamtif, and they're going off ready to eat their blintzes. That's not a way of being mekabel the Torah. When we read the Kriya of Shavuos, the Aseres Adibros, at that moment there are Kailei Subrakim, there are thunders and lightnings, and heaven comes down, and and everybody gets his portion of the Torah, and we're mispalo for that the whole year. V'sein chalkeinu b'seiros secha, Rabbeinu Shalom, give me my portion in the Torah. Every Jew has a portion in the Torah. That's the portion of the ois and the halachis and the seidais, which are attached to his individual ice in the Sefer Torah. So there was this guy who was supposed to get married, and he prepared, and he spent so much money, you know, for the hall and the dinner, the meal, and the music that he arranged for, and he paid the band and whatnot, and the flowers, and everything went very nice until the chuppah. By the time the chuppah came, he said, "Oh, I'm so knocked out. For 2 weeks I've knocked myself out about this wedding. I'm not taking it anymore. I'm going to sleep now." That's what happened to the... That's what the person does who goes to sleep, you know, by the davening of Shavuos, when we're mispalo to the Rabbeinu Shalom, Ava Rabbi Avtanu, the Saint B'lebeinu Bina, give us understanding to understand the Torah, V'hoyer Einenu B'seir Secha, enlighten our eyes in the Torah, V'davik Lebeinu B'mitzvah Secha, attach our heart to your mitzvahs, and we're mispalo to the Rabbeinu Shalom, that we should be Zeicha, we should be worthy and have the merit of learning Torah b'hasmada and with devotion and with simcha, with happiness. So when it comes such to such a day when you can be mispaleo and get your chelik in the Torah, so they rattle off their davening and they don't know what they're saying. And then when it comes to kriyas haTorah and the aseres haDibros, they just fall asleep over the chumash. So in other words, they prepared for the chasna and they went to sleep by the chuppah. That's what it amounts to. It's a very big thing to be up at night, those who can manage and those who know that they won't sleep, and go to sleep a few hours before you daven. You don't have to daven all the way up in the morning, you know, at 5 o'clock in the morning. Take a rest so that you should have your mind by the davening, by the kriyas haTorah, by the musaf. The musaf of Shavuos is a very, very special musaf. Big things happen to our neshama during the musaf. The musaf is the finish off of the tikkun leil Shavuos of the night before. So we have to prepare for the Shavuos, and then we have to actually live with the Shavuos and experience the Shavuos. So now, tomorrow is Erev Shabbos, and the Shabbos before Shavuos, and Shavuos comes. We still have time to prepare. And I will conclude with a vort of Rabbi Yisrael Kozhnetzel. The Rabbanei Shalom gave us 50 days to prepare for Shavuos. In each one of these 50 days, we have to accomplish something. Each day is a different kind of accomplishment. It's a different number, something else to accomplish. What happens if somebody didn't utilize these 50 days? So the Pasuk says, Ad mimachas ha-shabbos ha-shviyas, until the last moment of the seventh week, tisperu chamishim yayim, you can still redo and recount all the 50 days. You didn't lose your chance yet. And you come new, fresh, and ready to be mikabel atayra b'meira b'yameinu. And Hashem should help you to have a good shavuos, a worthwhile shavuos, a fruitful shavuos, with our chaylik, with the bounty of tayra yiras shemayim. Yiras Hashem, Ahavas Hashem, Simcha Hashem, and all the good things that any Jew could wish for. A good Shabbos, good Yom Tov.